This is the first conference I came to 30 years ago. The very first conference. We were in La Mansión del Río in San Antonio. It was wonderful. It was an extraordinary conference. I went there. I met all these luminaries that were there, people that I now know truly were luminaries. And it was just a remarkable thing. And I just fell in love with immigration. I was very fortunate as a young lawyer to work in Phoenix. I worked in Phoenix for 4 years with two great immigration lawyers, Roxy Bacon and Nancy Jo Merritt. They were two sides of the same coin, and they both loved to sue the government. And I had come from a practice, just a regular old insurance defense practice, where I was just doing regular law. And anybody practice insurance defense here ever? Yeah, you know, the pitchfork is outside to stick in your head to make sure you never have to do that again. But it's just boring. This is just so much more fun. Now, today we sit in the middle of what can only be described as a nightmare. Literally every day, something is changing. I just saw an article in the paper about 2 weeks ago that on average, since January 17th, 2017, there has been at least one change in the law of immigration every day. Every single day for over 1,000 days. Some minor, some major, some court-related, mostly administration-related. So if you're wondering why you're just so anxious and upset and pissed off, that's why, because it keeps changing. Litigating is a way to get it out of your system a little bit, because there's nothing better than suing the government. It's the greatest thing in the world. And I learned from some of the most amazing practitioners out there. Many of you in this room have done remarkable work over the decades in going after the government. And right now, you may have noticed that it seems like for the last 2.5 years, we keep winning these lawsuits. Are you tired of winning yet? I'm not tired of winning. 7 separate federal courts shut down the public charge rule. 7. How many times did we sue? 7. Every time. We have this lawsuit that we're going to file before the end of the month when the insurance rule supposedly takes effect. If you will give us a plaintiff, please, please give us a plaintiff. We will win that lawsuit. That we will get a stay in place. It will never go into effect. But we need plaintiffs. And that's really what litigating in federal court's about, because as much as we would love to be our own plaintiff, we can't be. We're the lawyer. We need somebody's case to litigate, whether it's in the business side, whether it's on the removal side, whether it's in the family side, whether it's naturalization, or whether it's even litigating issues of employer sanctions. How many of you practice in immigration court? Okay, have you had the life sucked out of you yet in immigration court? I've done hundreds and hundreds of trials in immigration court, and when you go into a federal court after that, you feel like a lawyer all of a sudden again. Hello, Mr. Cook. How are you today? Talking to me. I don't work for the government, Your Honor. That was mean. No, it's just a remarkable experience to be treated like they did in moot court when you were in law school. And you get to write pleadings and do discovery and do all kinds of fun stuff that you learned about, but we don't really touch on in the immigration court context. But nobody here is immune to the ability or is free of the responsibility to go into federal court on behalf of our clients. Everybody here that's done naturalization work has had a client's naturalization case unjustly delayed. Everybody here has had an adjustment of status applicant with a pending case for 3 or 4 years. Everybody here has had somebody with a delayed action on a visa or an incorrect action, or what we call today the effect of MSU, making stuff up. On Twitter, I was just reading back there, a colleague of ours in Tennessee indicated that she had filed an I-140 for a shortage occupation, a physical therapist, and they'd come back and they denied her case because she had failed to include on the posted notice the location, except that's not required. And the next day after she got this, they updated their own internal process rules to change that rule to require it. Literally making stuff up as they go along, finding new ways to this. We're going to talk today as much as I possibly can about how to litigate. I will not get through the, 50 slides I have. One of the remarkable things about AILA, more than any other bar organization out there, is we are in this together. ALA National has formed a litigation task force that any ALA member can join. You just go on to your ALA website, look for the task force listserv, and join that listserv. And you automatically can ask questions, you can get feedback. There's about 30 of us that serve as mentors for that listserv. If you want to litigate, you've never litigated before, you're not in alone. We have dozens of sample pleadings. By the way, if you're not plagiarizing as a lawyer, you're not doing it right. Remember, you're not allowed to plagiarize in law school, you get kicked out. Once you're an actual lawyer, you can plagiarize all you want.